You might like to open your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 32. And keeping in mind, as we've been looking at God's Word in the light of yesterday, and God has given us the record, a written record, of that which took place with Israel, and we are to learn from Israel and be educated about God's wonderful working. And so here in Jeremiah is delivering his word verbally to the people, and God has taken, as we're doing this particular section in a particular way, he has told Jeremiah to put it in writing. And we're reading the writing that God told them to write of the event. And the Nebuchadnezzar is in the city, around everywhere, and he is taking the city over. It is being destructed, going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be down, and the people are going to be deported that are left or killed. And so here we are looking at the live event and all that's taking place, as we shared with the signing of buying a piece of property. And in buying the piece of property, Jeremiah reminds God in verse 17, there's nothing too hard for God. Difficult, there's God's superabounding. There's nothing he can't do. It's too wonderful, the word extraordinary, there's all those words. And Jeremiah finishes, as we share together in chapter 32, in verse 27, and then you go, God tells Jeremiah and confirms for Jeremiah in verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for me. So there's nothing too difficult. So when everything is being torn down, taken away, and people are being deported and killed, you're going to have, God said, all of that I told you was going to happen. And not only Jeremiah, but the other prophets predicted it. And all of it is happening. So therefore, you don't need to read anything. You don't need to talk about it. All you got to do is look around you, and the destruction is there. So it's a live event. When the storm blows all the trees down and you're in the midst of the storm to boot, there's no question the storm's there. There's no question the storm. I'm in the storm. You're in it. Now, so having said that, so we have verse 28 and all the way down to verse 36. God said, all of this has happened just like I told you, and Israel has not been believing. Israel has done idolatry, and we shared all that a little bit. They were caught up in idolatry and to the extreme. And so therefore, you can only do that so long, and then you have to go and pay the consequences. So now we come down, as we did. God is still talking, putting in writing. And in verse 37, and up to there, God's telling you about the destruction of the city. It's already happening. Just as he said, just as they were to understand. And not only is that true, but all the other, that we were reading, chapter 30, 31, all of the wonderful things God is going to do, all of those wonderful things, the God who is going to destroy the city, allow it to be destroyed, is the same God that's going to do wonderful things. There's nothing too hard for me. Just think of our little exercises in the study of God's providence on Sunday night and that. God's wonderful management. He's the storekeeper, and he's always on duty. Now, So, having said that, in verse 37, and in verse 37 you'll note, "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely." I'm going to do, they're going to all go, I'm going to bring them all back. Not all of them, of course, the same ones are going to come back. But God's going to restore the wonderful plan he has for Israel. And he's going to do it. God is going to gather them. Keep in mind, God is on top of everything. And over to Leviticus. And in chapter 26, I think. And in Leviticus chapter 26, now this is all they've done. And this is Moses now before they cross the Jordan. And he's reminding them before they go into the land of what God has said in Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And here's Leviticus. Leviticus is taking place way back when they crossed the Jordan. They're at Mount Sinai, as it were. So at Mount Sinai, at the very, very beginning, as it were, would you go to verse 27? Now, if you're going to honor God, that's good. But, and if you will not, for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you. Also in fury, and I, even I, will chasten you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. Now, they're told that before they crossed the Jordan. We read that in chapter 32. That's what they had done. They had gone to Baal. They had gone to Palestine, of Jerusalem, I should say. And they sacrificed their children to Baal, et cetera, et cetera. That's what they did. They were told that drastic, when you get hooked into idolatry, drugs or something else, it's going to keep dragging you further, further and further, to the point you'll sacrifice your children. That's what you'll do. That's what you're going to do. Now, that's what he told them. They haven't even crossed the Jordan. So if they'd been listening, they'd say, boy, we better watch going too far in this thing. But verse 30, and I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. It's an awful thing, God said, and it's an awful thing to me. It's going to be awful for you. Verse 31, and I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet savors. In other words, all the things you're doing in the rituals to please me aren't going to please me anymore. Verse 32, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. In other words, people looking, could God let this happen to Jerusalem? Yes, sirree. Verse 33, and I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. I'm going to do all of that's going to happen because, verse 34, then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath, Sabbaths plural, as long as it lieth desolate, and you shall be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy your Sabbaths. In other words, I told you that every seventh weekday you rest, every 7 years you rest, every 49 years, day of it, Jubilee. You're going to. I want you to take time off. I don't want you to plant anything, do anything. I want you just to enjoy my care. 6 days using the Sabbath day, Sunday, or Saturday. 6 days you labor, and on the seventh day you stop and realize all that you're doing. I understand what you're doing. I'm watching over what you're doing. I'm providing for what you're doing. I'm taking care of you, protecting you, providing for you. All I'm doing that. And on the seventh day, you just sit and enjoy and remind yourself of how much I take care of you and honor me. That's all. Honor me. I'm the creator. You're the created. Honor me. Honor me. That's all you do. And you do it every seventh year, and the year comes, and you take the whole year off. That's pretty good. You take the whole year off. That's what you do. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to plant. You'll never go hungry. I'll take care of you for a whole year. Wow. They never did it. That's why the captivity. Not only did they go against God in idolatry, they never honored him in anything to let him be God. Point for me and you, maybe. Are we letting God be God to us? We'll see. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 28. Oh, yeah. You can keep seeing this. I'm just going to give it to you. Deuteronomy 4, but here's Deuteronomy 28. All of it, I'm trying to get you to see. They knew everything ahead of time before they ever began. Before you began, went out the door, they knew everything that was going to happen. All they had to do was pay attention to the instructions, and it wouldn't happen. Otherwise, it would happen. So therefore, in Deuteronomy 28, picking up if I can, doing that. Deuteronomy 28, 32. And in chapter 32, if I can, in verse 26. Now God is going to do, he's given them a testimony of all that he's going to do. Maybe you'd better have, can't go that fast. Go back over to 28 for a minute. And verse 64. You can't go too fast. In fact, even 63 is going to be important. You'll see it if we get there. 28:63. It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked off from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee. Remember, we're looking. God said, I'm going to gather you, but I did the scattering. I made you. I scattered you. I made Assyria come in and Babylon come in. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people from one end of the earth unto the other. And there shalt thou serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone for gods. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life, verse 66, shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. And now what do you know? God said, Numbers and all of that. God had taken the people, Exodus 19, and made them the nation of all the nations. He gave them the privilege of he would be finding his home in their nation, and their nation would be a lighthouse to all the nations of the world. They never, never can belong to anybody else. Then think of the study in Leviticus and that of being devoted. When something's devoted to God, no one else can ever have it. No one else can ever get it. It's God's. No one can ever have it. It's devoted. Now, when we did those studies. Now, so what are we looking at? God, Israel, will never be comfortable in any place except Israel. And that's why anti-Semitism, etc. They never will find a home. They never can become part of. They're always the Jewish persecution, Jewish this and that, always that. In every country they do that. It used to be worse, it's going to be worse again. And that, you got that. It's never comfortable. They're never going to be able to be at home. I'm a Jew, as it were. And I'm treated, they treat me nicely, but I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew. God said, you're going to have that. You're never going to find a home. You're not going to find it. The only place for Jews is with God in Israel. That's the place. That's their home. They're never supposed to run around the world, missionaries. They aren't doing that. No, they're just there. A lighthouse? The lighthouse doesn't move. Did you ever notice that? Lighthouse just sits out there in the water, sits up there in the water, season after season, generation after generation, and the light lights. That's what a lighthouse does. That's what Governor Bradford, a little city set on a hill, that's what we're supposed to be as a country, as a people. It's for people to look at America and see God's wonderful grace. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, as you go over to Jeremiah, well, you said 32, so don't, 32, because all of the testimony of all of that we just looked at briefly, all of that testimony is written, and Moses made sure they never, hopefully, they would never forget it. Chapter 32, verse 26. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark. Here's the ark, and put it down by the side of it. Of the covenant of the Lord your God, that purpose, it may be there for a witness against thee. Against thee. I want it there. So whenever you see the ark, remember that the ark temple isn't there. Whenever you see the ark, you'll see the Bible down there leaning against it, as it were. When you see the Bible, that's a testimony against you. It's against you. I told you all this is going to happen, and it's going to happen because that's what you're going to do. Now, having said that, over to Jeremiah. So it has to happen. I told you there's nothing too hard. I told you they're going to be scattered. Back over to Jeremiah. And if I can. And in chapter 30, you remember, verse 11 that will help you. 30:11. Remember what we're looking at. God is telling them, I'm in charge of what all the bad, I'm in charge of all the good coming. Now, so therefore, 30 and verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, rising and fall, all the nations rise and fall, and the next nation takes their place. Verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. I did the scattering. Yet will I not make a full end of thee. I'm not going to do that to you. I eliminate each nation, and the next one takes its place. But I'm not going to do that with you. I'm not going to make you eliminated. There's always going to be the Jew. And I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure. and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. That's why they're going to discipline. You're going to get one spanking after another, and then you're going to get a bad spanking, and then you're going to get a bad, bad spanking, tribulation, and you'll wake up when it happens. But I'm not going to quit. I'm not quitting. There's nothing too hard, and what I'm going to do, I have plans, what I want to do. I'm telling you what you end up finding out in your life, but I want you to know this is what I wanted in your life, and I never changed that. You may never get it, but I don't change it. Now, having said that little bit, and in chapter 31, you're right here, do it again. 31:10. 31 verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations. This is for everybody to pay attention about what's happening in Israel as the destruction takes place. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's the one that scattered. So there's no question, that's what's happening in Jeremiah's day with Nebuchadnezzar. And he's the one that's going to make it all work out at the end of the tribulation, etc. Now, and so having said that and keeping that in mind, and by the way, while we're thinking of the Jews, just to take it a step further, here's the world, here's the Jews in unbelief, the Gentiles in unbelief. And go to James chapter 1, the book of James. And in James chapter 1, would you allow me to pick up at verse 1? James, early written, right off, early after the crucifixion. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, which are, what's the word? Scattered, abroad, greeting. In other words, he's looking now at the Jewish people that were in Jerusalem and the church, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 8, great persecution. What happens to the Jewish? Now, if I was a Jew, and I know I can't ever get comfortable in a nation very long without having a fear of something going to happen to me or someone's going to do something, and I have that. But then, and I can't, I have to wait. But in the meantime, God's being gracious. And being gracious, what's he doing? He's giving grace to whosoever, Jew and Gentile. The Jews were able to get saved on the day of Pentecost. They were Jews, by the way, on the day of Pentecost. They're Jews. And they get saved in a wonderful way. But persecution comes and they're all scattered again. They're all scattered. Why? Only this time they're scattered in part of the church. They're believers with Jew and Gentile. They're to be witnesses, Acts 1:8, all over the world, wherever they are. A testimony in the nations, to the nations. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and God is going to do a wonderful thing with a Jew. A Jew can't find any home. That's what my point. A Jew can get saved the same as Gentiles can right now. All they got to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get saved. So the Jews, be of good. You can witness to the Jew and say that you aren't comfortable, but you need to know the Lord as your Savior, and you believe. And they believe, and they become part of the body of Christ. Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ. And if you don't do that, and the Lord comes, maybe you'll remember what I told you about you need to be saved. Because then what happens when the tribulation comes, Revelation chapter 7, 144 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe are going to get saved. God's going to go 12,000 from each tribe. God has them. Say, which tribe are you from? No one knows. God does. God knows which tribe you belong to. And the Jews are going to get saved in a wonderful, be a testimony in the tribulation. God's going to do that. So the Jews have an awesome future. If they, and it's today, if they just believe. Now back over, if I can, to Jeremiah and 32. And in Jeremiah chapter 32, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. He's going to give him the end of verse chapter 32, as we did. God's going to give them safety, and God's going to give him that safety. Now, that isn't the same safety in Revelation, Ezekiel 38. That's a different thing. The safety God gives then is safety, wonderful safety. The safety in Jerusalem in Ezekiel 38 is a safety made by treaty with the Antichrist, over the Arabs and all that. So that's different. Now, so therefore, chapter 32 and in verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in a most, most wonderful way. And I'm going to give them one heart. Now, when I said that I'm going to be their God, they're going to be my people, and in my people in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And if you slide down to verse 41 ahead of time here, and, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land. Assuredly, it's going to happen with my whole heart and with my whole soul. And that's the only place in the Bible that God says that. God said, that's why God's going to say, that's why you're going to go and love them with all your heart. And you want what we just read in verse 38, I will be their God. Now, here's all our relationships in life all over the place. There they are. And we're in the presence of God. That presence, that relationship in head and heart that we have overrides family, friends, marriage, brothers, sisters, everything, everyone. That relationship is with God. All other relationships are just here. This relationship is with God. And I need to honor that. One God. I'm the Creator. God's the Creator. And He saves us in the most wonderful way. So God is the wonderful God and Savior. And in this wonderful, wonderful way, we're to look to God and think of 1 Peter 3:15. You have to turn there. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to anyone that wants to ask you a question. Set them apart. Of all your people in your brain and all the people you think about and everything in your head all over. But then there's God. And God stands out above everyone. There's no comp. Otherwise, I'm bringing God down. And Jeanette says, and I said, Jeanette, I said, God, I'm listening to my wife. I'll give you a hearing later. See, you can't do that. Because I'm putting Jeanette down with the same level. There's no one on the level with God. No one. So when I sanctify the Lord, I understand He's God. He is my God. Think of David, my God and my Savior. You understand that? It overrides everybody. God. And you recognize the relationship and the authority so that you get it. God gets my attention. God. And God, what we read in verse 41, God's going to give me His full attention. I'm going to give God my full attention. I'm going to give God my heart. God's giving me his whole heart, and so on. So when I read the promises and the plan and the program, God has his whole heart into it. He's wholeheartedly into what he's doing. Does that help you? Do you understand that? What do you do with your whole heart? What kind of activity do you do with your whole heart? You have to think about it. What do I do with my whole heart? You know? Love God with your whole heart. That's it. Now, having said that, that makes the difference. That's the difference. Because he has no competition. There's no competition with God in any way, shape, or form. He has full everything. He gets it all. That doesn't mean you don't do everything. It means you do it better because you're paying attention and you're keeping yourself stable, steady, etc. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, in the midst of all the idolatry, so when you come down to verse 39, I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. So all I'm doing and all that I do is for the good. Hang on, because it's going to be said every time. Every time he's going to say it. For the good. Watch it. You'll see it. I don't have to worry about you saying you know it, because you'll have to, you say, well, I heard that last week. You'll hear it every week and get it. Watch it. In verse 18, verse 39, for the good of them. Go down to verse 40, to the good of them. To verse 41, to the good of to them, to do them good. In verse 42, all the good. Good, good, good. What's so wonderful about good? God is good. And what do you know? Well, we just did it recently somewhere. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, Adam and Eve went and sinned, and Adam had sinned, and they came to know, be knowers, participle, knowers of good and evil. They lost the good, and they left with the evil. So a person needs to get saved and know the Lord as their Savior to get to have back to the good. God is wonderfully, wonderfully good in what he does. And what happens when you get, what did Adam and Eve lose? They lost the grand, glorious, good relationship to God. And you say, well, God said, listen, the heavens and zillions of stars and everything, they declare my glory. And John 17, you know, all the 22. And I have given the believing heart my glory to be able to be excited, energized, motivated, to understand God does good things always in a good way for good reasons. And that's good enough because it's good for God. And you get to know the wonderful benefits of his good. What do you mean? Without evil. To know what it's like in heaven with nothing wrong. Everything's right. That's good. God is good. That's what he does. And God gives it with his whole heart in a most wonderful way. Verse 39, I will give them one heart. I'm going to do that one heart I'm going to give them. Now, what do you know, Jeremiah, in that? Do that one a little bit. Go back over, if I can, to Deuteronomy. And you've done this before, but each time you may get it a little bit better. Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And in chapter 4, Deuteronomy, picking up if I can, sliding along down to verse 29. And if from thence, after they're being scattered into the future, which we're reading, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, what was the problem? Chapter 5, Deuteronomy, what did they do? They listened to everything God said, but God said it isn't going to go very far because, verse 29, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But they had no heart. Well, they could have ears. They could mimic it. They could quote it. They could do whatever. But they had no heart for it. No relationship. Chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love, verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be where? In your heart. That's what we're doing. So God is telling us to do all of this in the most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And in chapter 30, picking up in verse 5. And remember now, they have no heart. This is, they haven't even crossed the Jordan yet. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good. God's always good, 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 good. Didn't you ever say that? Isn't that good? Good. It's good. Good. God's good. In verse 5. And thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love. What was the purpose? To have you enjoy the relationship. As what? God is your creator and savior. God wants to give himself wonderfully to his creation, not to giraffes or stars. We don't have them anymore after new heavens and earth. What do we have? We have humans. Humans are made in the image and likeness of God. And they're made to reflect God, for God to see himself, enjoy himself in a most wonderful, wonderful way. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to go and fix it. What do we just read in Jeremiah 32, 39? That I'm going to give them a new heart. I'm going to fix their heart. How are you going to fix their heart? How are you going to do that? How do you fix my heart? Get saved. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you get a relationship back that you need to have for the good. Now, in verse 6 again, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live and enjoy. So everything God wants, you need God to make it happen. That's what you need to do. And God's going to do it. There's nothing too hard for God. And the Jews have to wait till the tribulation and that, or they could get saved today. Otherwise, if they don't want to get saved, they'd be lost. They go into tribulation, they could get saved. And here we are, looking to God. And so therefore, we ought to understand, God, what are you telling us for? Because when you receive the Lord into your heart, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. And you're going to do that. And so what happens? God does something for my heart. He comes in, not only as I invite him in, I open the door of my heart. God comes in as God, and I need to honor him. He's the one that died on the cross for me and gives me a relationship to him in Christ. as he's my Lord and my Savior. He's my shepherd. He's who he is. There's no one else like him. And he takes over in my little life. He becomes practically and experientially God. I enjoy God's wonderful person. By faith, we walk by faith, believing, thanking God for what he has done. And God does what he does in a most wonderful way. And God said, listen, I'm going to give him a new heart and a new way. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it work. I want it to work. So if God is that intent in wanting it to work there, now, and in the future, is God that intent now to want that in our lives? God's intent back here, and his intent here, is he intent right now to want those wonderful, 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 his wonderful goodness in your life? Is that, does he want that? With his whole heart. That's what you have to ask yourself. Here's Christmas coming up. What are we going to get for Christmas? You know, who cares? You know, we got everything anyway. We'll be glad to give you stuff away. That's the way you clean your house out. You know, say, boy, we got to get rid of stuff and we'll give you all the, whatever I can tell you. God gave you what? The gift of his son. I said, there's nothing more. I've given you all the good there is. I've given you myself. Adam and Eve forfeited it. Christ has made it possible. So God, you're going to give me a whole new way, a whole new movement, a whole new everything in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And the Lord Jesus said, the way, and a new heart, a new way, the way. So how is it going to be? Simple. John 14:6. What's it say? I am, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the only way. I'm the only way. What are you going to do for them? I'm going to present myself to them, and they're going to get saved. That's what I do. Because the tribulation is going to make them really want to get saved. That's what it's going to do. Wow.